Well, a very good morning again to you all. And for those who are listening on a recorded message from the sermon, very warm welcome to you too. And welcome to those on Zoom. It's lovely to have you with us. And welcome to all of you here. Fantastic. And so we are going to continue in our little sermon series, really about change and how to adapt and be strong in change. And what does that look like from a scriptural perspective? And before I continue, let us pray. I know we've just prayed. I say us, but I'll probably pray rather than open up to everyone at this point. And then we will look into scripture. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us in a mystery of faith. You are here. Lord, thank you that we can read your word. Holy Spirit, may you open our hearts, our minds, our understanding to your revelations, your truth. May you unlock this awesome book, the Bible, your word to us this morning. What is not of you, may those words not take root. But what is of you, may those words, those seeds, take root in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Okay, so staying rooted during change. Has anybody had change in their life at any point? Yes, one person. Thank you for sharing that. Brilliant. One person here has had change in their life. Wow. I think we've all had change, haven't we? Yeah, I know. We've all had change at some point in our life. And how do we stay rooted during change? It's not always easy. And we're going to look at a couple of verses, 2 Timothy 3:16 and John 15. I'm just pulling out a couple of things from John 15. Okay, but we have got to begin with a little bit. Not a quiz as such, but there's some items up there. You may recognize some, you may not recognize some. For those who are listening, we have a picture or artwork, art being very loosely phrased as art, with a banana taped up on the wall, with a Pez sweet dispenser, Mickey Mouse one, a pack of cards. I won't give away what's in that jar. Actually, I will now. It's hair. But you don't know who from. And there's a lunchbox, a Star Trek lunchbox. So, you know, we are always trying to look for value and worth. Perhaps a little bit of a good bargain to be profitable. If anybody's used eBay or sold an item, it's quite exciting when you go, ooh, I only got that for £5, but I've sold it for £500. Maybe not that extreme, but we're going to have a little bit of a guessing game here. How much do you think? I can't remember which one. Oh, it doesn't do it. Okay, that's fine. Okay. A pack of cards, that's from a casino called Jerry's Casino Cards, and in 1970-ish, it was 70p, probably less than that, for a pack of cards. How much do you think they were sold for fairly recently? Anybody?
£1,000.
That's
70 quid.
70 quid, £1,000. I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? £436.
Wow.
Now that is a good markup, right? That is a good amount of profit that person has got from that pack of cards. Okay, so the Pez dispenser my kids have discovered in Wootton's fine, what they called the hardware tool shop, that they sell Pez dispensers. And they've always wanted one, and we're like, no, you can't have it. But now they've got them. So this Pez dispenser, a Mickey Mouse one from, again, around the 70s, I didn't intend to have the theme from the 70s, but anyway, guess how much that was sold for?
6.50.
Good guess. Not quite. I'm going to tell you. £5,751. What a result. That's amazing. Okay, moving on to the jar of hair. Not just any hair. The King, Elvis. Apparently, it's Elvis's hair that the hairdresser kept after this legendary artist passed away and thought, oh, I can make some money out of this, and jarred up lockets of his hair. Guess how much that jar of hair sold for? 15 grand, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
20 grand.
20 grand. £94,484. Woo-hoo-hoo, what a markup from that barber. He just cut his hair. £94,000. Okay, in that lunchbox, Star Trek. Got any Star Trek fans here? £700. £1,229 for a lunchbox. And lastly, this wonderful, incredible bit of artwork. Called, does anybody know what it was called or is called?
Banana duct tape for a wall.
Yeah, you know what? You're not far off. It should be called that. It's called Comedian. And I think that was deliberate. But it went for £98,000. £98,500 for a banana stuck in the wall with a bit of tape. Wow. We're good with our money in this nation or across the world, aren't we? It's just really making the point that profit, if we can get a good bargain. Now, my dad once asked in KFC, he asks everywhere, oh, can I have a cash discount? And he got it. In KFC, of all places, it's slightly different now because it's all cards and it's all cashless. But we want a good bargain, don't we? And actually, 2 Timothy 3:16. If you have your Bible with you, whether that's digital or physical, it's up on the screen, but you might have a different translation, a slightly different expression with the translation. But all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. There's a word there, profitable. This is undeniably the best, most incredible, profitable book, experience, insert any word that we can ever have. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Wow. Interestingly, the profitable gain there isn't so much about how much can I gain from this in order to benefit financially. This is a hard, sacrificial, profitable notion to read scripture, to be inspired and transformed by the living God. You know, we can read scripture to amass knowledge, to amass information. We could read as many theological books as we choose to, if you really want to. We can train, equip. But if it's just to amass knowledge, what really is that? It should be transforming our lives, helping us to be corrected, helping us to know salvation, the freedom in Christ, and that training in righteousness. Oh, wow, I love that. I just wanted to kind of make that point that we can seek for profit, a good bargain, or why on earth would somebody spend that much money on a banana taped up on the wall? But anyway, but contained in these words here, the Bible, this is the most incredible gift that will give us so much richness in life, so much profitability, in order to live in a life of righteousness to bless others in the world. Wow. I think that's a big amen there. Come on, amen. Okay, now it's not working with the transition slides, so never mind. It's all up there straight away. And I'm so sorry for some of the formatting. Oh, it's gone. Oh no, what's happened? Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, that's helpful. Look. Thank you. Oh dear. Okay, thank you. Apologies if there's some American spellings as well. I just realised perhaps there might be. Not that I need to apologise for Americans. I'm very sorry, Beverly, on Zoom, and others. You guys are great. I'll stop. Okay, so if you turn to John 15 now, that's kind of like a preamble to now we're going to look into a little bit of a passage. John 15 is full of so much richness. I mean, there's a lot to learn from this one passage. But when you approach scripture, as you already know, it's really important to put it into context. So where's this in context? Before and after. Okay, so before, this is where Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, which is a very intimate time, full of lots of promises of peace. The Holy Spirit will come, will equip you. A lot of peace there, promises, but a hint of unrest. One of you will betray me. And it's like, oh, that's a bit of a clanger. One of you will betray me. That's a very quick summary of before. And after, Jesus then with his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was betrayed by Judas, Peter's denial, and then the crucifixion. And we find here in John 15 this wonderful, wonderful example, I think, of the Holy Trinity. So Jesus would have walked out with the disciples from the upper room. And it's really hard to try and explain theologically the mystery of faith. I mean, if you try and do that now, it's still very difficult because it's just a matter of faith. There are great examples of historical fact, which we now have the benefit of now because we live in a more modern time. But there's also an awful lot where it's faith language and it's the unknown and it's trusting in something that we can't necessarily prove by facts other than a life transformed, and then you can pick out scripture to show the timeline of events. So Jesus was going, okay, how am I going to try and explain this relationship? Because he knew that he was going to go away. He was going to die. He had already talked about with the disciples, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will be sent. He's going to continue with the teaching. The Holy Spirit will show you and teach you when I've gone. Now, I don't know how accurate that picture is, but it's certainly an example to give a flavour of the temple in Jerusalem. And you might see here, all along here, there's grapes and it's a vine. And so we here in John 15, we read, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you may produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. I just love how Jesus, when you discover how he taught, so often used ordinary day-to-day items or situations that he was living in and breathing in to communicate the truth of the kingdom of God. Now, I'd never realized before that the temple would have had all these vines as an analogy of, you know, okay, the vine. But Jesus is clearly saying that he is the vine and that we are the branches. So Jesus, the Son, is a true vine. God, the Father, is the gardener. He's so much, you know, he's more than that, we know. But in this example, he's the gardener. The Holy Spirit, the counselor, the teacher, the enabler. It's quite clear that the fruit matters. You know, it's quite clear in this passage that fruit really matters. Now, fruit is also physically good for us. Yes, we know that. But what are we talking here about fruit? And I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is a really clear indicator of what fruits Jesus is talking about. Now, you know these. Now, some of these have fallen off the letters, but love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. That well-known one, that one. Goodness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. Now, you might think, oh, that's, you know, I'd much rather have loads of money, or I want a bigger house, or I want the latest Switch 2 when it comes out, or a PS5 Pro, or whatever it may be, or a snazzy new car, whatever. The materialistic things. But actually, the character, the fruit, from heaven's perspective, that is what matters more than anything else. Now, we face struggles. We all do. It's hard. It's tough. The world is not easy. It's not easy. Yes, we know. But if we can trust and surrender when it's difficult and challenging, with the fruits of the Spirit, that heart transformed by Christ, that is what matters. We don't want to be cut off. We don't want to be cut off. What does that mean, to be cut off? Now, we're not a cult here, but some cults, you know, they cut people off if you decide to leave their fellowship or organisation, and it's horrible. It's really nasty. Hopefully, we wouldn't do that here if somebody decided to go to another church because they don't like that new preacher. Not looking at anyone. Keep your eyes sane on something that's nothing. But, you know, we're a family that loves, that we want to see Jesus. We want to speak Jesus to one another and into the communities that we find ourselves living. Does anybody relate to sometimes when we get cleaned, if we've been particularly dirty in terms of rolling around in the mud or going for a walk or... And sometimes when we have to scrub, whether it's our child or ourselves, it can get a bit sore, it can hurt, but we've got to get clean. We might have an animal, you might have a dog that needs washing, and it can be like, ugh. But a lot of this is being renewed and refined by the true source of life, the vine, Jesus. Pruning is not easy, it's hard. It's like, ouch, but also amen. But you know the relationship with the Israelites? Oh yeah, sorry, I'm going to come to this first. So from the preacher's commentary, John 15, so much of synagogue life, although that word synagogue, you could also arguably say any church life, once the center of faith has become hardened and legalistic, dead. So selfish interests, unconfessed sins. I was joking with Andy before, Andrew and I were standing here, and I said, you're not allowed to enter the church until you repent of your sins. I was kind of joking and having a laugh. But equally, we do need to confess our sins. We do. A careless disregard for the truth or a bitter, unforgiving spirit can block the flow of life from the vine. Gradually, the branch dies. It is then taken away and burned. I just pause there. Perhaps you may be going, yeah, okay. Have I got any selfish interests? Are there any unconfessed sins? Do I have a careless disregard for truth? Maybe I've become a bit bitter, a bit cynical. Actually, there is no way I'm going to forgive that person ever. These are things that we need to work on, all of us, because it will stop the flow of life. It will cut us off from the true vine. It really will. Israel had an interesting relationship in the Old Testament with God. One minute, great, amazing, exciting, God with them. But often it was so full of waywardness, corruption, really, which resulted in barrenness. And Jesus then fulfilled. If you look at Isaiah 5, 1 to 7, we won't do it now, but in your study, Jesus is fulfilling that actually he is the true vine. That Jesus is the true vine. Where do we go from here? John 15. Okay, so these men, i.e. the disciples, you and I, if we've accepted Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So these guys are not of the world. For Jesus chose them out of the world, not to leave the world, but to continue his mission in the world as a new community of love. Yeah, love. But where does that come from? So shine, woo, from the inside out was last week's kind of message. But really, where are we rooted? To whom or to what do we turn to when we find things are difficult? When our bank balance is causing us anxiety? Where we're going, where on earth, how on earth am I supposed to even talk to that person who has caused me so much pain and hurt? And you can share many stories, I'm sure, of things in your life where you faced difficult challenges, changes that have been uncomfortable, situations where you think, I have no idea how I'm going to be able to go forward in life with this. For some of us, it's minute by minute existence, maybe hour by hour, not, oh yes, I know what we're going to plan for the next 10 years in life, and this is exactly what's going to happen. It's very difficult to do that. You can book cruises, not looking at anyone again. That's great. You can book holidays, but you know, it's that faith. It's that living. We are not called out of the world to be a little holy huddle, to be kept in a little safe place. We're called to be salt and light in the world. To really be people of change, where there's transformed lives, where we are seeking Jesus, the true vine, being refreshed, being pruned, being challenged, being discipled, being equipped from Jesus, the true vine. So that's my drawing. A bit squiffy. But a question really to us all. Why are we a Christian? Why are we here? What agendas do we have, if any? How do we grapple life? Do we turn to man's ways, man's provisions, in our own strength? Or are we really seeking God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gifted to us to be transformed, to live a life surrendered in the vine of Jesus, that true life, where we recognize that we are the branches. We're not the vine. God is so much bigger. Do we allow him to carry us, to hold us? Yes, we face difficulties. But my identity is in Christ, first and foremost. You know my testimony. For those who don't know, I won't go into huge detail, but I was a wreck. I was against God. I had no respect for him whatsoever. I didn't believe in him. And I would say now, my identity is in Jesus Christ, first and foremost. That's who I am. I might still be struggling with this, with that, and I'm working on this, and I'm trying to be challenged here, I'm being pruned there, I've got to give up this. Yeah, we don't know where we're going to pay the next bill for. Yeah, yes, but first and foremost, my identity is in Jesus. He's my refuge. He's my rock. He's the one who has the roots that are phenomenally vast beyond comprehension. It might not mean that the bills get paid. It might not mean that we get healed. It might not mean that our changes in life, whatever disorientating dilemma comes, life is still hard. But our character, who we are, truly, the fruits of the Spirit, which is profitable, that's where our focus should be. That's what matters. So on here, I was going to draw, it looks a bit like an ear. If you have very creative imagination. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we hearing God through his word? Are we really allowing that to go into our hearts? And then for the dot here, dot, 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 dot. What's our story? Do people know us for our love? A love that is not a sappy, sentimental, love you, bye, you're amazing. You know, if you do speak like that, and if that's how you communicate and it's authentic, I'm really sorry. But that genuine sense of peace that transcends all understanding, character, where there is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, where we're allowing ourselves to be rooted and grafted into Jesus, the vine, where God's the gardener, going to get pruned, it's going to be life of discipleship, where the Holy Spirit is leading us, equipping us, and guiding us. I'm up for that challenge. I want to be known for my love for Jesus and my love for others. That really is what at the crux and the core of our faith is, that surrender to Jesus. What's your story going to be? How are you going to be remembered? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you again so, so much that we can come together to worship you, to rest, to be at peace. Lord, you know each and every one of us here today, this morning, and for those online, those listening at another date, another time, you know what we are grappling with. You know the things that are causing us doubts. You know the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, in our hearts, those deep questions. Lord, faith is a mystery. It's not easy. But we thank you that we can have you as our true Saviour, our rock, rooted, grounded, so strong, beyond comprehension. I pray that you would help our minds and our hearts to connect as we read scripture, as we engage in your truth, that we wouldn't be afraid to live in the world as salt and light, kingdom people, punching holes in the darkness of your truth, your love. May you give us the strength, the tenacity, the heart, the patience, all of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit. And Lord, where we do mess up, when we feel an absolute failure, may we truly accept your grace, your love, your mercy. Help us to live a life of righteousness, not to take things for granted. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be a dead church, that it's just all religious and it's all ticking the boxes. But Lord, we want to be rooted and really, truly grafted in, drawing all life and source and wisdom and everything from you, true vine. May you continue to be Saviour here at Wootton Baptist Church, and help us to be you out there in the world. And just in closing, you never promised it will be easy. You did say, when it's we're burdensome, that your yoke is easy, but we have to trust you. But we're going to be facing persecution like you did. We're going to be disregarded like you were and continue to be. But Lord, we trust in you. Help us to continue to trust you. Amen. Amen.